What are you afraid of? And we want to address that tonight as the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart in this. So let's look at Luke now, chapter 12 and verse 4. Jesus said, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." Fear. What are we afraid of? Are you afraid of what man can do to you? You're afraid of what the terrorists might do? We've seen where the terrorists have flexed their ability to destroy and without warning in places that you would not think of, in our malls, in our shopping places, even in the churches and other places that is there. Look at John chapter 12 and verse 42. John chapter 12 and verse 42. John chapter 12 and verse 42. A lot of times we're afraid of what somebody might say. We're afraid to do something or to stand up or speak out because somebody might say something about it. In John chapter 12 and verse 42, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." Now, I mentioned earlier concerning the terrorists and what they might do and the deadly force they're dealing with. But we've got people who are more afraid of what somebody might say than they are of the terrorist. And are you afraid of that? Is that one of your fears? Well, listen to the response of some that face that type of fear. In Acts chapter 4, and verse 18. Acts chapter 4 and verse 18. Acts chapter 4 and verse 18. "This little world will threaten you. They will try to get you to believe that they can really bring harm to you in your mind and all that's going on by what they might say." Acts chapter 4 and verse 18. "Though words are dangerous, words can do damage. Words can tear down your character. Words can cause you to be uncomfortable, can cause you to become discouraged, and even send people into great depression. Words are important. But even with that, we need to trust God and not be afraid of what others might say." Look at this now in Acts chapter 4 and verse 18. "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether is it right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God? Judge you. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done." How important it is that we realize we need to be more obedient to God than to man. Not to be afraid. I've shared this with you before, but this morning I had shared this with those who were talking to me, and they were astonished by it. And this was happened 20 years ago. And going even stronger now today. When we, God sent us up to Fort Madison, Iowa, and there to pastor a church. It was one of 4 churches in the state of Iowa that had a full-time pastor. And we ran just a little over 100 in attendance in that. But the city of Fort Madison was totally against any evangelistic work in that city. They had a law that you could not go out and knock on somebody's door without being invited, or you could be arrested. You had to have a permit to go from door to door in order that you would not be arrested by doing so. And someone could complain about that, and they would come and arrest you and find you and even put you in jail for them. That didn't bother us. Were we going to be afraid of what man might say and do, or were we going to serve God? We had to have a permit to light a candle and have candles in a wedding ceremony. We had to have a permit, a health permit, to any time we fed and had a meal in the church. They had all kinds of permits, and they had one permit that they said that was the right to assemble. What it really was, it was a fire permit. Where they came out and they checked the building to see if it was safe for a public to meet in on that part. And I told them, I said, if you'll change the name of that from a right to assemble to a fire permit, I said, we'll get it. I said, I have the right to assemble. That's my constitutional right in America to do so. They threatened me with words and said, if you do not get this permit, you'll be fined $100 a day plus imprisonment. I said, just come arrest me. That went on for stir up others. They realized that I wasn't going to do that, and I began to stir up others in the community that we had the right to assemble, and they did change it to a fire permit. But many people, and these people that I was sharing this with said, I can't believe that's in America. I said, yes, it's even stronger than that now than what is then. Are we going to be afraid of what men might say? Or are we going to obey God and where we put our faith and trust in Him? Notice in Psalms 118, and again, we're reminded of where is our trust? Do we really trust God? Are we afraid of what man might say? In Psalms 118, and look at verse 6. Psalms 118 and verse 6. The Bible says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man or what can man do unto me. Do you really believe that? As a child of God, do you really believe that God is on your side? Or are you afraid of what man might do to you? Notice verse 7. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. By the way, if you have a King James version of the Bible, Psalms 118 verse 8 is the center of the Bible. When you take all of the verses from Genesis to Revelation, and find the center verse, you'll find verse 8 is the center verse. In other translations, not the center verse. Other translations take out some verses and they add some things. Only in the King James do you find where that the center verse is verse 8. Look at it again. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. That's the center of God's word. And the center of that verse, of the words that are there, you've got two words that are the center, the Lord. Our trust needs to be in God and not in man. Not what man can do. The Lord's on my side, and I will not fear what man might do. Notice in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 21. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 21. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 21. I love this passage. To really understand it in Proverbs 3 and verse 21, the chapter that is there and what God is sharing with us, how important God's word is and how that we need to trust in God. Well, let's just look at verse 5, Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord in verse 5, Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. The emphasis of trusting God, putting your trust in God's word. Now we come to verse 21 of Proverbs 3 and verse 21. When it says, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Realize how important the word of God is. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shall thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the destruction or the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. My, what a passage. We can lay down and go to sleep with war all about us, with the threats that we have from all that's going on, whether it be those of our own people and of our own government telling us we can't do this or that, with the threat of the laws that are trying to hinder the work of God, with the threat of terrorists. When you have your faith in God, you can lay down at night and not be afraid and go to sleep. When you keep God's word, when you obey God's word, when you know God's word, the greater your faith is. You remember in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? By what? The word of God. The more you study God's word, the greater your faith is, and you'll have that shield of faith about you, and nothing can penetrate that faith. You'll be able to sleep at night with peace, regardless of what's going on. Notice in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of what man might do to you? Notice in Isaiah 41 and verse 10. And here the Bible tells us in Isaiah 41 verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. God says, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. What more assurance do you want? God says, we're not to be afraid, for he is with us. How do we know he's with us? Where do we go that God is with us in that? How can we have this assurance? Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19. Keep your finger there in Isaiah 41. We'll be kind of looking at it. We're going to use portions of this verse when he said in verse 10, fear not, for I am with thee. And in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19, Matthew 18 and verse 19, Jesus said, again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. How can we ever slight prayer? How can we ever turn away from enjoy my private prayer life? I enjoy my walk with God and the fellowship that I can have with him and the assurance and the comfort that he gives me. And sometimes it feels like God is really there, and he is, but even more so when we're gathered together. Tonight, God is here because we've agreed in his name. Tonight, as we gather together in his name, we have more than two or three. God is in our midst. I've shared with you before, but let me share with you again. It's so strong in my heart and in my mind that God is here. I watch and I'm careful about my conduct when I'm praying. As a kid, we used to play touch and all, and hide and seek. When you try to find someone or touch them, and if you touch them, then you were it. And we had some safety features. If I crossed my fingers, then they couldn't touch me. If I didn't have my fingers crossed, if I could cross my hands, I was safe. Or if I crossed my legs, I was safe. And then we would use that same expression if we said something and someone said, well, that's not true. Oh, I really didn't mean it. I had my fingers crossed. Or I really didn't mean it. I had my legs crossed. When I'm talking to God and praying, once in a while I'll realize, not that I have my fingers crossed or my arms crossed, but I'll have my feet crossed. Have you ever done that? When I realize that, I will separate my feet because I don't want God to think that I don't mean what I'm saying. Now, that's having the presence of God with you. We need not to be afraid. He said, I am with you. And when we pray and when we come together to pray, God is with us and in our presence. Chapter 28. You're familiar with this passage, but let me just bring out a few things in that. And there's nothing to be afraid of, to witness of what others might say. And, well, I don't know if I want to say anything to them about Christ. They might curse me. They might get upset with me. Notice what he said, and some of them will even try to fight. Now, I've been there. I went to out at Sweetwater, Oklahoma. That's the first place we came to in Oklahoma was Sweetwater. That's Eric and Sayre. And I had a consolidated school, an old cotton gin, and the only store that you had in town there was a general store. You had the post office, and they had a grocery store and a hardware store, and everything was in that one room. That was there in that. I went to knock on a door in a home and to witness to a person that was there, especially to the man of the family. I had had some conversation with his wife, and she was wanting to come to church, and she says, well, my husband won't let me come to church. And I was wondering why. And so I went to the house and knocked on the door, and he had a screen door. You remember those screen doors we had on the house there? There was a couple of holes in that screen door, especially one about waist high. They're close to the edge of the door on that. And I thought, well, somebody just pushed it wrong and hit the screen instead of the wood part of the frame of the door. And as he came to the door and I told him who I was, he reached over by the side of the door that I couldn't see. And he stepped back and he had a shotgun in his hand and stuck it through that hole. I found out what the hole was there for. Without batting an eye, he told me he didn't want me to talk to him. He didn't want me to be there. And I heard the click of the hammer on that. I was not afraid. And I said, sir, have I offended thee? I said, don't talk. You get off my property. And I did. I backed off and went on about my business. I never could talk to him. Went back later, many years later, after I'd left that church, and I was asked to come back and preach a revival. I went back there, and I asked about that family. And they said, well, the man has passed away. He's died. I went to the house and knocked on the house, and the wife was thrilled to see me. Talked to her and her son, and they both accepted Christ as their Savior. Do we really believe in the power of God to be with us when we witness? Notice that verse 18. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He has all the power that we could ever think about or dream about. And then he said in verse 19, go ye therefore. If I can go with all the power of God of heaven and earth, I don't have to be afraid of anything. What are you afraid of? Say, are you trusting God or trusting man? And Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And now get this. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. When we are serving God, when we are witnessing, when we are teaching, when we're doing what God wants us to do, Jesus said, I am with you always. And when you really believe and trust God's word, God said it, that settles it. Man, you can go with all the confidence that you need and not be afraid of anything. In Iowa, had a deacon. Oh, I tell you, he was just my right hand. He just really was anxious to serve the Lord, and he was a telephone repairman. And he went into the homes and repaired the telephones, installed the telephones. And his fear was dogs. Somehow or another, he said, those dogs just smelled me out as a repairman. And they just come after me on that. And I just attract the dogs that want to bite. And so we went out visiting. And I went to this house, and he was with me. He said, oh, wait a minute, we can't go there. I said, why? They've got the meanest dogs around. There's a fence there. Man, I tell you, those dogs came up just to barking. And I mean, their teeth were showing. And as we stood there at the gate, he said, I'm not going. I said, don't worry about that. Let's go in. He said, we can't. Those dogs will chew you up. I said, oh, come on. I said, God's going to take care of us. I opened the gate. Not one dog tried to nip at me. And walked up on the porch and knocked on the door. He couldn't believe what he saw. He said, what in the world's happened? I said, God is with us. I believe that. I'm not afraid. When we serve God, he is with us. What are you afraid of? Do you believe God can take care of anything and everything around you? He is more powerful than any animal. He's more powerful than any human. What are you afraid of? Notice in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. He said, fear not, for I'm with you. God's with us when we're in prayer with one another. God's with us in service as we go out to serve. And he's with us in the church. Notice this now in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. Ephesians 2 and verse 20. Where the Bible tells us, and you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. When we're together in unity and we're singing the same songs, we're praying the same prayers, we're listening and paying attention to what God has to tell us, he is here with us. The Holy Spirit is not only in us individually, he's in our presence. But today in many of our churches, they're not in unity. While the song service is going on, a couple of people are carrying on a conversation of their own as if nothing else was happening. While the song service is going on or the announcement's been made, our minds are somewhere else. And then when the preacher gets up and starts preaching, well, how long is he going to take? Man, we're already into this thing so long. Our minds are not. When you come into unity, you're going to have the power of God in our midst. He said, fear not, for I am with thee. In that passage that we looked at in Isaiah 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41. And verse 10, he said, fear not, fear not. Isaiah 41 and verse 10, he said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I am thy God. You know what a God is? A God is all powerful. God is above everything, and a God is in control of everything. He can change the minds of the enemy. He can hold the enemy off. He can have four lepers that's outside of Jerusalem when the enemy is surrounded around Jerusalem and no one can get in and out of Jerusalem, that they might starve those inside. And these four lepers are on the outside. He said, man, we can't go inside. The people don't want to have anything to do with it. The enemy's on the outside. What are we going to do? And the Lord put it on their heart to go to the enemy. As they started to the enemy, God magnified these four men in their steps, and the enemy thought an army was coming. Four men, and God arranged it for the enemy to think an army was coming after them, and they was in a hurry to get away, and they killed one another and destroyed themselves. That's God's business. That's God's way of doing it. No way these four men could overcome it, and the army in Jerusalem thought they were surely gone. Do we really believe that we have a God? Now, there are false gods. There are a lot of gods in this world with a little g that they think that controls the rain, and they can't control anything. They're made out of stone and wood, and they cannot hear or see, and all that is attributed to them is the imagination of the people who want to serve them. Our God is not an imagination. Our God is the only God in the universe. Are you a child of God? Man, when he's my God, that in verse 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Oh, what assurance we have. And I'm not ashamed to be called a child of God. But more than that, being a child of God, you don't mess with me. I belong to God, and if you're going to get at me, you're going to have to get at God. Have you got that attitude? If you don't, you need to get it, because that's exactly what God does with us. We belong to him. Now, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, Romans 8 and verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Did you get that? If you're a child of God, God has not given you the spirit of fear. That comes from the world. That comes from the devil. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. What sufferings or hardship I might have is to my advantage, not to destroy me. I have nothing to fear with that at all. Notice verse 16. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And we are in our God. He's our Father. We are his children. And we are in his hand. What are you afraid of? Who are you afraid of? Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. You're familiar with the passage, but let me just remind you of it again. John chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I do not serve a religion or a theology. I serve a living, risen Savior, the only begotten Son of the only true God of the entire cosmos. What are you afraid of? We do not have to be afraid because he is our God. Look at Isaiah 41 again. Isaiah 41 and verse 10, where he says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God said he would strengthen us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. You're familiar with this, but let me just remind you of what are you afraid of? Well, I'm too weak. Well, praise God. Let God work through you. Notice it now in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace, my power. That's what that word grace means. My grace, my power is sufficient for thee, for my strength, God's strength, is made perfect in weakness. The weaker I am, the stronger God is in me. Same. It goes on to say, most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Oh, what power. There's nothing that I need to be afraid of. For his power is sufficient for me. In verse 10, it says, therefore will I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Well, we say to the devil and we say to the world, just bring it on. Bring it on. I have more power than what you've got. I have the power of God and can overcome anything that you can throw in my direction because I stand in the power of God. He said he would help us. Not only strengthen us, but he would help us. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. And this is a lesson you need to learn. That you would not be afraid of anything or anybody. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. In Hebrews 13 verse 5, the Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Wow. Do you get that? He has promised, he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And here's the result of it in verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Do you believe God's word? I do. Have you experienced God's word? I have. How many times do we have to go through the lesson to learn that we need not to be afraid? We sung the song a while ago, have faith in God. Oh, that we would really practice what we're singing and practice what we're reading, that God is with us, he will never forsake us. I do not have to be afraid because I have a Heavenly Father that'll take care of me. Well, what about the weather, nature? Oh, now wait a minute, preacher. We can have respect without fear. You don't have to run around wringing your hands and wondering how in the world you're going to make it through anything. God said he'd take care of us. Look at it now in Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43. I love this passage. Notice it very carefully now. Isaiah 43 and verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. Remember, he's the one that created us. He knows us. And he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. I love that. I'm not a number to God. He knows my name. He knows your name. He has created me. He has redeemed me. I belong to him. Now, you might not like my kids. You might be upset with them at times, but you don't mess with them because they're mine. You mess with them and you're going to mess with me. But more than what I have for my kids, God has for you and for me. We belong to him, and he's telling the devil and he's telling the world, you don't mess with them. They're mine. But now notice verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. Now that's the floods. That's the rains that doesn't seem to come to an end. And we wonder how in the world we're going to make it. Don't worry about it. He said, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Regardless of the weather, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the wars, regardless of the terrorists, we do not have to be afraid. And we need to let the world know we are not afraid and stand in faith in God and know that we serve a living God that takes care of his children as we trust him and as we follow him. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. As a child of God, many times we realize that we need to escape hell. We don't want to go there, and rightly so. Some of us realize that we need a heavenly Father, and that we do, rightly so. And so we're willing to be saved, ask God to forgive us and to save us by the blood of Jesus. We'd like to get rid of the guilt of sin and feel free that we're no longer condemned and have that great feeling of being forgiven. Man, that's a tremendous thing. And then knowing we're a child of God, but we leave it there. We stop there. Do not stop there. Every moment of our life as a child of God, we do not have to be afraid of anything, of anyone, or any circumstances. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, God not only forgave you of your sins and gave you the power to become his children, but it says in verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. If God did not give us the spirit of fear, then where did fear come from? Think about that. Fear doesn't come from God. Fear comes from the devil. Fear comes from you when you're looking at yourself instead of God. When you're looking at the problem instead of God. You remember Peter walking on the water? He was walking on the water to go to Jesus in the midst of a storm. Those in the ship were afraid. Even Peter was afraid and saw Jesus walking on the water. And as he walked on the water, he had victory. He literally walked on the water, but then he did something. He became afraid. He was scared. Why? He took his eyes off of Jesus. He looked at the storm, and the storm became bigger than Jesus to him. Some of you are afraid because you've taken your eyes off of God. You've looked at the terrorists, and they become greater than God. You've looked at the government, and it's become greater than God. You've looked at your finances, and it's become greater than God. You've looked at your health, and it's become greater than God. Turn back to God. He has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We have nothing to be afraid of. Let the world know that your trust is in God. The world will be afraid, but you can give them assurance. As a child of God, you have the victory. Do you have that victory? Jesus paid not only the price for your sins, but paid the price that you no longer have to fear. Look at it in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Notice it very carefully, and we will close with this verse. Hebrews 2 and verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, Jesus, who is talking about, Jesus also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He delivered them who even had fear of death. Are you afraid of death? Or have you trusted God? I will never die. Oh, now wait a minute, preacher. You're already getting old enough. Your days are shorter. No, my days are just getting closer to going home. When the doctor or someone want to say that I'm dead, they're lying. I just leave this old body. It becomes lifeless. And I go to be in the presence of God, alive with all of my senses, with everything about me. And if Jesus would come now, I wouldn't even experience that. Quicker than you can blink your eye, my body would be changed. I have everlasting life because Jesus paid the full price to you. I do not have to be afraid of anyone, any government, any terrorist, any type of weather, because God is my God. He's my Father, and I belong to Him. If you do not belong to Him and your heart is filled with fear, we're going to give you an opportunity to come tonight and believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that God is the God and the only God of the entire cosmos, and believe that Jesus died for your sins, was buried and raised again the third day. And be willing to pray and ask God to forgive you and to save you by the blood of Jesus. Not only will you have forgiveness, but you'll become a child of God. And you will be God's child and no longer have to fear. And you can stand in His power, not yours. And He will take care of you. May we